Welcome, everybody, to episode 207 of the China Show.
That's right.
The real China Show, not that fake rubbish one.
Yeah, anyway.
That's stolen our name. Anyway, yeah. Let's continue. So, guys, today's going to be a little bit different. Unfortunately, we have a prior engagement, so we don't have time for Q&A today.
Yes. Save your Q&As.
Yeah, please save your super chats. Yeah, but we got a lot to cover, as usual. We've got Slopaganda. We've got this crazy thing that's going on in the seas with fishing.
Yes.
We've got a lot of things to cover, so yes. Why don't we saunter right into it with new? And today, for what's new, Seamilk, I've got something which I think you're going to love.
Okay, let's see if it's up my alley.
I understand your appreciation for art,
yes.
Right?
No, I mean, I would definitely not say I'm into art.
Well, I mean, I don't know about that.
Well, give me an example.
Here's a good example of some fantastic art, very sought after Chinese artists. Let's take a look.
They call him Dribbles. This is like Dribbles all over.
I mean, okay, I'll go back.
Yeah,
basically,
I'd like to see this.
What this guy does is, and remember we had this before where the guy just doesn't look and he like
yeah,
splats.
So I love that. There's an artist, I wish we showed this, but there's an artist in China that just got blown up. Probably through connections and stuff.
Yes.
Blown up all over the media, and people were paying millions for his artwork. And he was just going like looking away while just like doing lazy brush strokes on like a vase.
Yeah.
This guy, he's a little more intense.
Yeah, he's got a syringe.
Yes.
You know, like normal medical syringe, I suppose, filled with ink.
Yeah.
And he does this whole thing where he screams at the same time, or he shouts and does like a design. And of course, for some reason, people think it's amazing.
I like his sound.
Yes.
One thing he does fit. Can you pause it on
Yeah, him? Yeah, sure.
Or I want to see his beard.
Okay, yeah, he's got the
beard.
We'll
teach you something.
Whoops, let's go back.
So in China, when you're an artist,
yes,
you have to have a beard.
Like yes,
normal
even if it's
guys
small,
don't have
even
beards.
If it's a small beard.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because normal guys don't have beards.
Yeah.
But when you have a beard, you're like a photographer or an artist or something.
Or long
arty.
Hair.
Yes.
It's kind of strange,
it's
but it is
a weird stereotype.
It is a stereotype, but China is definitely a place where stereotypes are more pronounced.
Yes.
You know, and people are pigeonholed.
Like if you ride a bicycle, you wear spandex.
Yes.
Like you have to. You could have a huge beer gut, smoke cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
You wear that spandex when you ride that bicycle. I'm not talking about the city bikes.
No, no.
Like any
and
sort
the
of
helmet and everything.
Yeah, any sort of bike where you're like going places, you wear that. You know.
Yeah, there was this huge like uptick in that whole hobby of cycling.
It was,
but it's like you have to wear
you
that.
Gotta
doesn't
wear
matter
it.
What the weather is. It's
no.
freezing cold, and they're wearing those skin tight things with the helmet.
The racing helmet.
Yeah, and the Oakley glasses. Anyway, so artists aside, whether you like it or don't, it's certainly an interesting.
He looks very intense.
He is.
Very intense.
I just don't understand. I'm kind of curious how his sideburns managed to go directly from black to gray. It's like in a line.
I was going to say, I figured it out. He's obviously dyeing his hair.
He must be.
But you know what I love about this is that the beard just does not match him. It's like you went into the props closet at like a local high school theater group. And it's like, here's the scraggly beard that's been around for 50 years.
Yeah.
And he put it on like with a rubber band. Like.
Yeah. Hey, maybe. Anyway, we got to talk about this marathon. Now, recently it's come. You know a bit more about this than I do, don't you?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay. Well, let's show. This is early on in the marathon, and this is a very famous Chinese marathon runner. Okay.
Yes.
And there's some Kenyans here doing what they do best, which is run marathons, to be honest. And it looks like they're escorting him. So maybe you can read about it while we show what happens here.
Yes. So basically what happened was there's a $5,500 cash prize, right?
Okay.
For the one, Sky Don't Lie, right?
Yeah, look at that. I mean, let's be honest. That doesn't look like a very nice day. Imagine you're running, an athlete, you're breathing this in. Not good for you.
Yes. So there were some African runners, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the video clip, it shows these African runners that are applauding this guy and waving him on.
Yeah, look, they're like, come on, go, 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 go. Yeah, look at that.
And it looks like they might do one of those, like, teamwork finishes. They work so hard, you know. But no, they actually let the Chinese dude go ahead and run through. Apparently, this Chinese dude's ranked, like, 77th in the world, so he's good.
Right? No, of course he's a good runner. There's nothing about it. But these guys, come on. Look how much shorter he is, and their legs are much longer. It's much easier for them to really get ahead.
Sprint ahead. So here's the deal.
Yeah.
The experts are looking at this, and they're like, the only person that sprinted to the end was the Chinese guy.
Yeah.
The other guys, like, obviously were holding back.
Yeah.
And so the internet commenters were like, this is nonsense.
Yeah.
This is absolute nonsense. Like, you need to look into this, right?
Yeah.
So they clearly let him, I mean, it looks like they Occam, let him win.
I mean, sorry, but...
But...
Occam's razor here.
Yes, know? I'm saying Occam's razor.
Yeah.
But it got so bad that they're actually, like, the marathon commission in Beijing actually has to, like, look into this and actually, like...
Because too many people were protesting.
They were like, what?
Yeah.
And international sports commentators are like, this looks bad no matter what. And there's a quote here.
Mm-hmm.
It says, it's just a bad look, however you slice it, said sports analyst Mark Dreyer. And it's one thing for four runners running right at the end to potentially hold hands or to cross together in a show of sportsmanship. Yeah. That's not what we saw.
No, it's not.
Because it looks like almost like that's what they might do.
Yeah.
Like, let's all do it together. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Africa and China or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, look, it's just blatant. We'll go through it one more time, okay? But our audience is not dumb. We're not dumb. Nobody's dumb who watches this. The Chinese athlete is behind. Mm-hmm. You can see he is behind the African runners. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you see, they point ahead. They're like, yeah, you go ahead.
Yeah.
Come on, get in front, get in front. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's so obvious.
Yes.
They point and then wave him in.
So here's the deal.
Yeah.
They asked him.
They asked him, right?
They asked him.
Mm-hmm.
He says, his name is He. He's 25 years old. He has broken China's marathon record twice in the past 2 years. Clearly a good runner. Doesn't need this, right?
Mm.
Told reporters after the race.
See, he's looking at him and pointing.
Yeah.
You go ahead.
He says, I was not in my best competitive state, but he did not address the controversial finish.
Of course.
So he won and then said, I wasn't in my best state.
Wait, yeah.
So, like, there's some dissonance there, right?
Yeah.
If you won, you'd be like, oh, I worked so hard for this, you
know?
He won and said, I was not in my best competitive state.
He was... Very obvious he was allowed to win, and it's maybe, I'm guessing they're Kenyans. There might be some...
It just says African. We don't know.
Kenyans are great runners, and that's why I'm saying that. I'm guessing they're Kenyans. Maybe there's some Belt and Road Initiative thing going on.
Maybe
there's some China's investing there or something, and so they you know...
I was bringing it down to my speculation, to a more smaller level. It doesn't have to be a state. It doesn't have to be state corruption here. This could be a runner that... You know, had someone pay someone off. I said could be.
Could
by
be,
the way.
Yeah. Look, remember speculation.
It could go all the way to the top. It could be something super simple.
Yeah.
You never know.
I'm just saying that, you know, I'm saying what everyone's thinking, and this is BS, okay?
Well, yeah. I mean, everyone
look, he's behind
that.
Them all, and they're like,
it doesn't
go
matter
ahead.
What the motivation was, right? Yeah. This is clearly.
They let him win.
Yeah.
They let him win.
Yeah.
And that's nonsense.
Yeah.
Come on, my African brothers, have some more pride.
Well,
you know?
You know, it's not... You go to China, you think they have... What do you mean, pride? You think they can... You know what happened to them if this was a state thing? If they didn't let him win?
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I mean?
Of course. It just sucks.
Yeah.
I am African, by the way, I can say that. I'm South African. Yep.
All right, we've seen it.
Just doing it one more time.
Yeah.
Last time, just to make it clear here. I like how they're like, oh, yay. You can tell it's such nonsense.
Yeah.
They're very quick to put the things on. They're like, look, by the way, look, he's all bent over, recovering. They're patting him on the back.
Yeah,
they're not even tired. He's all like, oh, and they're like, oh, it's okay. You're good. You're good. Because they're just standing there. For them, it's a leisurely walk.
It is.
Okay, Slapaganda time, my favorite part of the show.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, be prepared for a little bit of a rant here, but I get so sick and tired of the Slapaganda coming out of China. And this time around, we've got another viral tweet. Okay. By somebody called Patricia Mo, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And If you read the tweet, well, can you just read it for me?
Yeah,
can you
says, read that? The main honest insight from my travels in China. By the way, the when you have honest insight in there, what is this, like Honest Abe's secondhand car dealership?
Yeah, it's like, I'm not going to lie to you.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Anyway, is that the quality of life is much better than the U.S. on a pure well-being, safety, physical, and social infrastructure level. Chongqing, a tier two city, is much more developed than all tier one cities combined. As a woman, I can walk around at 1 a.m. and feel safe. Children play freely in street alleys.
That's where you want children to play, is in alleyways.
And the parks are filled with elderly people dancing, singing, and communing. If cities can enable women, elderly, and youth to thrive, the rest is taken care of. This is inspiring for me and my social infrastructure building efforts in San Francisco, and we should draw more inspiration from China than anything else. Wow, that is a bit on the nose, isn't it? What did you notice about this?
Okay, number one, I noticed the amount of views it got. Okay, this is, I took this screenshot at the beginning of the week, so it's probably more by now, but 3.6 million views when I took the screenshot.
Yeah.
And the other thing I noticed about it is that those aren't real photos. They're stock photos.
Yep.
In fact, if you look closely, I'll show you an example. She didn't even remove the watermarks.
But wait a minute. This is honest insight from her travels in China.
If the photos aren't real, if they're fake, then of course, you know, let's...
Do you know how many channels there are now of people in Chongqing sneaking videos out about the absolute slums and pollution and poverty all over the city? It's very rough city.
Before we even continue, let's quash this from our own experience. Having visited Chongqing myself, you visited too. Very polluted, very run down.
Very, very, very slummy. Lots of slums, like more so than a lot of other cities in China.
As soon as you step into that city, because you see she's shown that Hongyadong area again, which is like it's as if you show Times Square.
This is all of New York City. This is America. Yes, this is Times Square.
That's what they do. But during the day, and I've shown it before, it looks awful. It's polluted, it's grubby, it's run down, it's filthy. If you go into the city, you see wires everywhere, you see prostitutes, you see like the real slums. It's not good.
Running ditches with sewage and stuff in them. Chongqing, it's gross.
Chongqing has a certain appeal to it.
Yeah, it's interesting.
It is a mega city, but it's not clean.
No.
It's not very, the infrastructure isn't very good there. No. It's got that stupid train that goes through a building that we talked about. Yeah, exactly. But look, there's a lot of stuff here that we could talk about.
Oh, there's definitely homeless people, by the way.
Oh, lots of homeless people.
You should check those. Type in like Chongqing streets or whatever on YouTube. There's so many Chinese people making these videos of just like street life
street
there.
Street walking.
Yeah. It's rough.
Yeah, because this continues, by the way, and I've just cut it out because she kept replying to this post saying, I didn't see any homeless people there.
And it's just...
And, you know, like all the usual... tropes, you know, it's like, you know, China does nothing wrong. China's a utopia.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, of course, I noticed that it's being boosted by other Chinese shills and people that work for Chinese state media.
Interesting. That's always a warning sign.
And that makes sense as to why it has so many views. It's because if it's getting boosted by the Chinese state and people connected to the Chinese state, that's why.
Yeah.
It's obviously being embedded and botted around and whatever. Yeah. Being a very well-known... person who works for Chinese state media and a propagandist for China, Cyrus Jansen, put this out, which says, this is a much needed and healthy dose of nuance about China. I love the big takeaway. We should learn more from China. This woman lives in blah, blah, blah. So he shared this out, okay? And that's when I really started to take notice. And so I had a little reply to him here, which I just said, how can you take this seriously? She used a stock image in her post and didn't even remove the watermark. This is propaganda straight up. Even the pictures aren't real. I know your job is to make China look better than the USA, but this is just sloppy. And it is sloppy, right?
Yeah.
Let's take a look at a close-up of the pictures that she posted. Right? So this was her post. And if you look at the second picture, see, it's still got the watermarks. So she literally went online to search for a stock photo that looks nice at night. Now, if she had been there, like she claims, which maybe she did, surely she's got photos she took herself.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Surely.
This is slopaganda.
It's
I like how this got 3 million views.
3 million views for stock photos.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And then CCP simps reposted it.
Yes, all over the place.
Yeah.
So that's why I got so many views.
Yeah.
It just blows my mind that people can look at this and say, okay, it's kind of like as if you had a, I don't know, tackle and bait business, right? And you're like, our tackle and bait's the best in the world. Then you post stock photos of some guy like fishing and it's got like, you know, GettyImages.org, pay for it here.
And it's not your shop.
It's not even from your country.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just nonsense. Yeah. It's just you can make anything up with stock photos. Anyway, so just pointing out that it's fake pictures, which sets a precedence here. Then I started to notice the comments. Lots of support for this, obviously. People saying how amazing this whole thing was. And this guy, for instance, says, have you seen the amount of people she triggered, lol? So I replied, if someone posted stock footage of San Francisco and said there were no homeless people there, loads of people would be triggered too.
So wait a minute.
Lies trigger people.
But a huge chunk of these comments were positive. Like, wow, Chongqing's amazing.
Most of them are positive.
Yeah.
Obviously, you got people like me going in there and being like, come on, what is this nonsense?
Yeah.
And look at the reply. She said she hasn't seen any. She didn't say there weren't any homeless people in the city. Every city isn't perfect. She's just showcasing an impressive city. What's the big deal, Winston? She's not showcasing an impressive city, by the way. She said, USA needs to learn from China. This city is better than all American cities. Yeah. That's what she said.
It's nonsense.
It's not, first of all, that's not true
as
far as infrastructure and stuff is concerned. But all of it's rubbish.
Yeah.
And so I just replied, I haven't seen any homeless people in San Francisco. They don't exist. And there are no gun crimes in the USA. I can say whatever I want. Doesn't make it true. I'm trying to prove
it's not true.
Yeah.
But guess what?
Mm-hmm.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
Great example.
And that's the whole point of this, is that because Chinese media is so shut off, okay? Because the only time you ever get to hear about Chongqing is through these kind of pro-CCB posts and things like that. There's nothing there to prove you wrong.
No.
Whereas if you've never visited San Francisco before and all you see are lovely pictures of the Golden Gate Bridge and stuff, and you watch Full House or something like that, okay, you think it's amazing, right?
Yeah.
And unless the news, which is free and open in America, you know, if they weren't showing the homeless problems and the drug problems and all the theft and all the, I don't know, shoplifting and all the terrible things that happened in San Francisco, if you didn't see that stuff on the media and you'd never been to San Francisco, you'd think it's amazing.
Yeah, well, what would you know?
Yeah, you wouldn't know. And that's the case here, right? Yeah. It's easy to make up crap.
Yeah.
And so I decided to have a little experiment. So I did the same thing. I took her tweet. I just changed it from USA to China.
Yeah, it's exactly the same words.
Yeah, and I put stock images of the Golden Gate Bridge here. You can see it still has the LMA A's all over it and stuff. I just had to do it exactly the same, right?
Yeah.
And I wanted to see, are people going to get triggered? Because according to them, it's only when you talk about China, right?
Yes.
So I did the same thing, like my honest insight travels in the USA.
That the quality of life is much better than China on a pure well-being, safety, physical, and social infrastructure level. San Fran is much more developed than all tier one cities in China combined. I can walk around at 1 a.m. and feel safe. And then you added the
So it's basically the same thing. Yeah. I copied it and pasted what she said, right? Immediately, lol, just confirming what we already knew. Sturzel talks a load of shite.
Oh.
Shameless loser. Oh. You can't even lie convincingly anymore. Weak bait. There's 0% chance you felt safer in the middle of the night here than you did in China. Stop lying. I get that you've been audience captured and you got a family to take care of, but it's okay to say something positive about China sometimes. Ha ha ha. Please then do us a favor. Stay in the fucking US shithole and do not come back to China, lol.
And that came out like a minute after.
Yeah, literally a minute after I posted this damn thing, right? And then got people like legitimately. Now, these are the people that are like, I'm sorry, Winston, I've been in San Francisco. Probably if you compare it to South Africa, you may feel safer. But in China, you see women riding bicycles at 2 a.m. Contrary to San Francisco with tons of homeless, you just do not see that. So you see they posted links to San Francisco will sue you if you leave. And I don't know if you can do that any longer. It's gotten bad. There's shit in the streets and, you know, like all the stealing. Okay. And that's true.
Hmm.
We were there.
Yeah.
And we saw the shit.
Yeah.
We saw them smear it on the church door.
Yeah.
Remember
that's
that?
Rough.
Yeah. Yeah. But also remember, we thought it was actually a really nice place too.
It was fun.
It's got its
ups and downs.
Ups and downs. Yeah, absolutely.
It's definitely a mess.
Yeah. But I wouldn't want to live there.
Here's the deal.
Yeah.
We can see that.
Yes.
Talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Post about it. And look at what happens. Look at what happens when you try to do the China treatment, the propaganda treatment, the exact same treatment.
Exactly the same.
About a city in America that's openly transparent about what it is,
yes.
right? Everyone can see the problems, right?
Yes.
and the vitriol, the hatred, the yeah. unbelievable insanity that comes out.
I mean, there are
of
hundreds
that.
Of these things that came out.
Yeah.
But here's the whole be all and the end all of this yeah. experiment is, okay? We all know that there are problems in America.
Yeah.
But the only reason we know about this is because it's in the news right. and it's allowed to be posted on yeah, social
you're
media.
Right.
Okay? The same is not, it's not the same in China. Okay?
No.
First of all, it's not in the news. When there's problems with homelessness, when there's actual murders and crimes and things like that, you don't hear about it.
Nope.
You don't hear about these problems because they're not in the media and you can't post about them on social media.
Right.
If you try to post very negative things about any city in China, it gets removed.
Yep.
It's just the way it is.
Yep.
So you don't see it. So the people living in China mm. that don't go to Chongqing, mm-hmm. they don't know about it. And people outside of China that don't go to Chongqing don't know about it either.
Yep.
I guarantee you, go to Chongqing and walk around. Don't just go to the bloody tourist area.
No, go everywhere.
Walk around. It's just the same as in San Francisco. You go to the touristy areas, you'll have a great time. You have to walk around, you know. You have to go yep. to the areas where you see all the homeless people. You have to go to the more dangerous areas to get that feeling for what it really is. Go to Chongqing and walk around. Go walk around in the slums. Walk around on the outskirts. Hmm. You'll find homeless people very quickly.
Yep.
You'll find that it's not safe very quickly. You'll feel very unsafe in certain areas.
Yeah.
So that's my challenge is go see it for yourself. You know?
Don't. We're not telling anyone. You shouldn't go to China.
No, okay. Yeah. Well,
you know. Yeah, if you want to fight on yeah. this, then go. Yeah.
So anyway, that's the end of Slopaganda. Just wanted to prove to you once again that these absurd tweets that go out there just saying Chongqing's amazing and like it's a utopia over there, you know, you can't believe it. Even though they're getting millions of views and being shoved in your face because of the algorithm and all the boosting from the CCP shills and propagandists and so on.
Yep.
Take this one thing away, though, is that this tweet that went viral used fake stock photos, could not even use photos that they took themselves.
Nope.
And that proves something to you, is that it wasn't good enough for them to photo.
Nope.
You know, they couldn't take a photo and say, like, that looks good, I'm going to post it.
Nope.
They had to go online and search beautiful picture of Chongqing at night.
Yep.
That's you it. Know, because they're, all their photos look like mud.
And that makes everything a moot point.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Anyway, let's move on to the next section. In fact, before we move into Soft Power Hour, which is the main part of the show today, we have a word from today's sponsor.
Yes.
So give me a second. There we go. Let's do it.
Taking care of your health isn't always easy, but it should at least be simple. That's why for the last 2 years, we've been drinking AG1 every day, no exceptions. It's just one scoop mix of water once a day, every day, and it makes me feel energized, focused, nourished, feel so much better than before before I started drinking it. What about
sure.
you?
Yeah, no, me too. Absolutely wouldn't stop taking it now. No matter what, because I know it's the one thing I'm doing that's good for my health because I've got a very bad diet.
That's because each serving of AG1 delivers my daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, and more. It's a powerful, healthy habit. It's also powerfully simple. We absolutely love it. We take it every single day. It tastes good. It's the healthiest thing you can do under a minute. You stir it in some water and you're ready to roll. If there's one product I had to recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1, and that's why we've partnered with them for so long. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 and K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/ADV. That's drinkag1.com/ADV. Check it out.
Yep, and
this is definitely what you want, I assure.
Anyway.
Yes, it is.
Time to get back into it. Now, guys, it's Soft Power Hour. This is the main segment of the show where we tell you how China's trying to change your mind through, you know, I don't know, news posts, propaganda, all that kind of nonsense. And we're going to start out with some EV stuff. I know we've been talking about EVs quite a lot lately. We've been talking about that Xiaomi one and all the failures, but we're not going to talk about that one today. All right?
Yeah.
In fact, I've got a clip from another new Chinese EV, which has been trying to break into the scene for a while. It's China's EV minivan.
Okay.
Okay? And it's kind of got like a cyberpunk type aesthetic to it. I think maybe a little bit of Cybertruck wannabe stuff there. Okay? So let's take a look at it. Give me a second here.
So bad. In my very humble opinion, that is one of the most hideous cars I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, but what's happening here is it's doing one of those safety tests where it's supposed to automatically brake if a pedestrian walks in front. That's a mannequin, by the way. It's not a real. That's not a real person. Yeah, I'll take it back. But you know, this is a very standard test that all modern cars usually do, because a lot, like, modern cars have got all these driver aids. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
I know. It's hard not to laugh.
I know. Charlie Sheen always pops in my mind. Anyway, the thing is, he's driving a car. Anyway, they've got driver aids, and one of them is like an emergency braking system.
Yes.
Right. Which is great, by the way. I think it's a great additional feature to any car.
Of course.
I've never owned a car that has that.
Right.
And I kind of wish I had a car that has that.
Yeah.
Because I think it's cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, basically what happens is if someone walks in front of it, or a car brakes very quickly in front of you, it automatically hammers on the brakes and stops for you.
Yes.
And one of the very common tests is to take a mannequin and put it in front and see how well the car manages to stop. And
that's
this
right.
particular new Chinese EV, this is how it does. Let's see one more time. Let's have a replay in slow-mo. Like, that didn't go as they planned, did it? Looks like Steve Jobs, the way they dressed him. Oh. Anyway.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Mannequin. So.
Yeah.
Speaking of EVs.
Yeah, so there was this thing I found. I don't know who this guy is. Is Senator Brown? Senator Sherrod Brown. I guess he's from Ohio.
Yeah.
Very interesting proposal he put out there.
Okay.
He's calling the U.S. to ban Chinese-made electric vehicles. Like, straight up. Right. And this is different than what we've seen before. We've had a situation where people are like, we'll put tariffs on it and it'll make it like unreasonable for them to want to sell them here.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
He's calling for a straight up ban.
Yeah.
To protect the U.S. auto industry. Not only that, because it's cheap stuff being dumped, subsidized by the Chinese government. Right.
Yeah.
It's what he calls a state backed effort. Basically an onslaught of the millions of these cars being dumped on your shores at a severe discount.
I got to preface something here. A lot of people might try to compare this to what happened in the 80s with Japanese goods coming in. And there were campaigns where you saw, like, I don't know, American politicians like with a sledgehammer smashing like a radio or like a Toyota or something. Yeah. And here's the thing. When it comes to those what happened in the past, I get the sentiment, and I think it was a bit stupid that they were doing that sort of thing. But when the Japanese came in with their cars, they were just providing a better product.
Yes.
That's all.
Cheaper.
They were literally better, fuel efficient, cheaper, and well-built, better built.
Yes.
But they weren't doing what China's doing. No. And what China's doing is intentionally trying to undercut the market.
Yes.
So you have all these EVs. Now, the EV should cost, let's say it should cost $50,000 to manufacture. Yeah. So the company like BYD or whatever, they want to manufacture this to sell it in the USA. So the Chinese government says, I tell you what, we're going to give you the money to manufacture that so it doesn't cost you anything. Or we'll give you the majority of the money.
Yeah.
All these subsidies. So BYD can build the car for, say, $10,000 or less, right? Then they have all these special trade deals to ship things free or cheap to the USA on their cargo ships. It's all part of this whole developing nation status China has. So the companies actually don't have to pay a lot of money. Of course, I'm messing around with the numbers.
Yeah.
It's hypothetical here. But basically, BYD, to send a car to the shores of America, is cheaper than a local company like Ford or whatever in America to build an EV.
Yeah.
Way cheaper. So it's not fair.
No.
It's not a better product. It's a cheaper product. And what they're trying to do is dump all these cheap EVs on the market. And they've been doing it in like sneaky ways. Mm-hmm. For instance, in the EU and all over Europe, you've got all these shipping ports, which are just full of Chinese EVs. And now the thing is, they're supposed to sell them before they get shipped over. But what they've been doing is they've been shipping them over before selling them.
Yeah.
So they sit there in the parking lot and they try to sell them then once they've arrived.
That's right.
Which is not the correct thing to do.
No.
So it's because normally you'd have to pay storage and stuff, but because it's shipped over there, it's just sitting there wasting space and everything.
So China's got graveyards full of these things. Huh?
Yeah.
Thousands and thousands of these EVs just sitting in graveyards running.
Yeah.
The government subsidizes it. They can't sell them. They flooded their own market, so now they need to push it off on other countries. So you got a lot of countries in South America, these more developing countries, that are forced to buy these EVs.
Yeah.
And it's really causing a problem because they're poor quality.
Yeah.
They're a safety concern. They choke out any local market or competition because they're subsidized
by
a foreign government. And that's what they're going to try to do in America, yeah. right? So I was reading this proposal, and I was like, yeah. absolutely agree with that. Yeah. That's just – it's they've not been proven to be safe vehicles. They've not been proven to be quality vehicles, and they've not been proven to be fair. You can't have a government that's subsidizing – it basically at a economic warfare level, yeah. making it so they're building them at a massive loss to go undercut another economy that's yeah. making a product under fair capitalistic, you know,
yeah. It's not fair trade. That's the whole point of the World Trade Organization yes. and stuff. It's about fairness, right? Yes. And when you're not playing by the rules and when you're not fair,
no.
it's just not fair. It shouldn't fair. Be allowed, right?
No, I agree.
It shouldn't be allowed. It's when, by the way, you know, when a foreign company wants to sell a car in China, there's tons of rules.
Yeah.
They have to be part of a joint venture.
Yeah.
Only Tesla is exempt from that. But yeah. like Ford or Buick or whatever they want to sell, they have to go partner up with a Chinese company. Yeah. They have this transfer of IP. Yeah, it doesn't matter. It can be yeah. Japanese. And then there's a huge tax. There's a tax. If you buy a foreign car in China, you pay a lot more.
Yeah.
There's like an import duty.
Unless it's a joint venture car. But then it's being built in China.
Yes.
Right? You have Hondas like Fengtian.
Yeah.
Or Bentian, sorry. Yeah. Fengtian is Toyota. You have them being built in China. And so you're not getting the same car. Like, for example, I had a car in China, right? It was a Japanese car, but it wasn't made in Japan. And it was wildly different than the one you can buy in even Vietnam
yeah, it was
or Japan
very
or
inferior.
Wherever. Yeah, it was
yeah.
much
the
more
The Lingmu Suzuki
yeah.
that you had? Yeah.
But it's cheaper, right?
Yeah.
So you see how this works?
But then that also means that the labor stays local, that the Chinese economy benefits from the sale of that
doing,
car.
They're doing – it's not right.
Yes.
I mean –
And what they want to do is they want to basically push out other competition in other countries, and they can't compete on that price
no.
level because the Chinese government's paid for it.
Yeah.
If the American government went and said, okay, we're going to pay for Ford to produce
yeah,
every car, then there'd be fair competition, wouldn't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, but then everyone would be like, this is bullshit.
Yeah, because then there's no one's making money because
yes.
all the companies are selling things at a loss.
Yes.
You know that that Porsche copy analog thing, that thing that, you know, which is a knockoff in my opinion?
Yeah.
You know that one?
Yeah.
They're selling that at a loss. Apparently, each one that they sell, they're losing like 30,000 RMB or whatever on
yeah.
each one. And that's not even including subsidies. They're right. just selling that at a loss
yeah.
so that they can get it into
Break
the market.
In. It's just like those,
it's like
those
Temu
big companies
and stuff.
Like Temu and stuff. They'll sell stuff at a massive loss or free or whatever.
Yeah.
Right?
yeah.
$3.99.
Yeah, exactly.
And just to get into the market and undercut Amazon and those companies.
And then once Amazon and all of those fail because they cannot compete with free pricing, then they have a monopoly and then they can
yep.
jack their prices up.
You're right.
And they've destroyed an entire industry abroad.
And the environment.
Yes, and the environment, absolutely.
Don't even get us started on the mining practices and,
oh, yeah.
and forced labor and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, the huge amount of waste that's gone into this whole EV subsidizing thing. I've covered it on my channel where there's
yeah.
literally fields, rotting graveyards of EVs, like you said, sitting around China that were just built for free, basically,
yeah.
through government subsidies. They turn out to be junk. No one wants them. But they can't really sell them because they've claimed that they've been sold. So
yeah.
they put them in a field and they rot away,
yeah.
leaking into the soil.
It's so China, though.
Yeah.
They've done this with so many things. Bike sharing.
Yeah, the bike
like
sharing
so
thing was
many,
insane.
There's so many parallels, but this is particularly bad for the environment to have
yes.
all these cars leaching into the ground.
Not only basically. That, the lithium mining
yeah.
To get the batteries, all the terrible things that have been done to the environment. Anyway, we're not here to
yeah.
to go on and on about that. It's just, I'm sure you've seen in the background a car burning.
I just thought it was interesting to see a different approach into how we should be dealing with this going forward to avoid catastrophe.
Yes.
Because
and,
it goes
yeah.
further than that. It's a safety concern as well. We've seen what these cars do in auto braking tests. We've seen what these cars do with fires. We've seen what
the
these
airbags
cars do
don't
the
deploy.
Airbags deploy.
I mean, the BYD Han, which is their flagship
right.
model, I've got footage of it being hit from in front and behind
mm-hmm.
massively. The airbags didn't get
yes.
off. We showed that Xiaomi last
yeah.
week got in a big front-end collision.
Yeah.
No airbags went
no.
off, right?
People took videos of this stuff in China.
Yeah.
So if this is a window into what you can avoid,
yeah.
then you avoid it, right?
Never mind the fact that it's basically malware on wheels.
Yeah, I mean, think
Spies
about
it. Spies on you.
You have cars that are owned by a Chinese company that have party members in their company. Here we go with this whole like debate about what a Chinese company actually is.
Yeah, it's just the Communist
you
Party,
have,
really.
You have the
yeah.
Communist Party in control of data flow, right?
Yeah.
Cameras, things that are being said, right? All of this stuff
yeah.
is technically could be grabbed by the Chinese government.
Well, think about it. Your car, not only does it track with its GPS
yeah.
exactly where you are at any
yeah.
given time, it has microphones built in for
yeah.
all the Bluetooth,
GPS
you know, they're
stuff.
Like... Yeah, the hands-free stuff.
Just play a song. Or
mm-hmm.
whatever, you know?
It's got cameras all
yeah.
around it, the new EVs and stuff, and inside too.
Yeah.
So potentially, it could all be turned on and they could record what you're saying in your car. They could film you. They could film your surroundings. If you're a government employee and you park in a military base, they could film all around you. And China knows this. That's why they banned Teslas from any sensitive place, because they think America's going to use a Tesla to spy on them.
Yeah.
So because they have that thought in their mind, that's exactly what they're doing.
You know it. You know it.
Exactly.
And we haven't had the opportunity or chance to have to deal with that, and hopefully we don't.
Yeah. So
that's why I just thought that was a great letter. It's like an open letter to President Biden or something. But anyway, it's links in the description. I thought it was an interesting read, and I agree with most of his points.
Yeah, I do think it's a big hazard, and it's not the same as the Japanese invasion of cheap economical cars.
I think that is a cheap way to make it equivalent, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it's not right. I think people are scared off by this. They're like, oh, it's just going to be xenophobia. No, this is not xenophobia. This is safety. This is national security. This is unfair trade. This is everything you can think of that the Chinese government is doing it's doing.
Yeah, it's protecting from like an unfair trade situation. Yeah. I'll give you a quick analogy here, because I used to run this thing where I used to do screenings, right, and do Japanese pop culture and stuff. And there used to be a guy who would import the legitimate DVDs and you know, merchandise from Japan, very expensive, but he'd import it, and he'd come and he'd set up a booth there, and he'd sell the DVDs, right? And they were expensive.
Yeah.
Then a guy came in with another booth where he used to get pirated from China, pirated DVDs, and like really cheap. And he's coming in with his booth selling it for like a fraction.
Right.
Like a... Sorry, that's a bit noisy. Like a quarter of the price, maybe less.
Yeah.
You see how that's not fair, all right? You got the legitimate stuff being sold at a reasonable price, then you've got the knockoff fake stuff being sold cheap. So I had to make a decision on whether I was going to allow him to stay or not, because it wasn't fair for the guy who was putting in the actual effort. And it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Anyway, I just wanted to show you a couple of these flame things going on here, because one of them is kind of interesting. Not this one. It's just the typical Chinese BYD or whatever catching fire. I'll fast forward that one. Here you have like I believe this is a place where they change the batteries.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So it's like almost like a specialist training center or something for EVs. And there you've got one catching on fire. And fire extinguishers don't work, guys. Stop trying to use a fire extinguisher on an EV fire. It doesn't work. All right? It really doesn't work. Yeah, so stay, like, just...
I mean, logic, how would you know that, you know?
Yeah.
How would these people know that if the government keeps saying, buy these safe cars?
It's true.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know you couldn't use this fire extinguisher.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, the chemical fire, it burns itself out. Like, you can do what you want. You just have to wait for it to burn out.
Maybe, like get away from it, get everything important away from it.
Yeah, just that. I think get the hell away from it. Yeah. I know what fire departments are doing now is they've got like a almost like a container. They take it, they put it in, like submerse it in this kind of liquid.
Oh, interesting.
It still burns, but at least it's burning inside of liquid and can be contained.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you kind of have to wait for it to burn itself out.
Oh, interesting.
They're fierce fires and they start very quickly.
Yeah.
And I mean, remember last time we showed you that the guy's doors were locking themselves and he couldn't get out. Imagine, here's the scariest part, right? Because nowadays, all these cars have got like these fancy door handles that pop out like with electricity.
What's up with that? Let's make a normal door handle.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. There are like emergency ways you can try and figure it out. But in an emergency, you're not going to figure it out. So imagine your fancy electric door, soft touch opening thing. It's all connected to the battery, right? It's electric. So when your battery shorts out and catches fire, all that stuff's going to be dead.
Mm.
You can't get your soft touch extracting handles. All that doesn't work.
Maybe they pop out first. Who knows?
No, they don't know, dude. If the battery just dies, if the power dies. So you literally get trapped inside that car unless you've got some way of getting out the trunk or smashing the windows or whatever. It's a nightmare.
Yeah, it's scary.
I would stay away from Chinese cheap EV cars just from a safety point of view.
Yeah, but then you can open it up to, let's just say, oh, I don't care about that stuff. Mm-hmm. Then there's so many more things you can talk about. Yeah. You know. Anyway.
Yeah, we've talked about this far too much. It's time for us to move on to the whole fishing thing. We have got a little excerpt here that we'd like to show you. It's from the EJF. Just a little report that's come out. So I'm going to play it for you and then we'll talk about it. So we'll probably get ourselves out of there. Let's do it.
The Chinese distant water fishing fleet is the largest in the world, with thousands of vessels operating across every ocean, catching millions of tons of fish every year. But alongside this seafood super trade, illegal activities and shocking human rights abuses run rampant and have been well documented by EJF in recent years. Now, we have followed this trail of destruction to the southwest Indian Ocean, a wildlife hotspot home to a rich variety of marine life, and to communities who have depended on the ocean for generations. For years, a long-standing narrative in the region has promoted the economic benefits of embracing Chinese investment in the fishing sector. But we've uncovered a darker story. Instead of mutual benefits and sustainable development, what's rising is a wave of illegality and abuse.
Saji sampai bahkan 4 saji dibunuh.
Kalau hiu tetap ditangkap, mereka ambil siripnya doang, badannya dibuang. Kayak gitu operasinya sih. Semuanya kayak gitu.
With unique access to crew members' testimony and the footage they've gathered on their phones, our investigations reveal that this precious seascape is being stripped of its biodiversity by vessels that are simultaneously responsible for serious human rights abuses.
Ya, kalau di kapal Cina nggak ada kata istirahat, langsung kerja terus sih.
Ikan banyak, kadang 22 jam sampai tidur cuma 4 jam.
Tiga kali sini. Kaget dan kaget, kaget, cuman kaget.
These abuses cast a shadow over the region's aims to legally and sustainably harness the ocean's wealth. To prevent this prosperity from being undermined by illegality and abuse, Southwest Indian Ocean nations must urgently improve fisheries transparency and sustainability and put human rights and the long-term viability of marine resources ahead of short-term economic gain.
Okay, so I'd like to stop it there. This is the Environmental Justice Foundation. Go check it out. The links are going to be below for you to go and see. But look, this is the kind of thing that needs more airtime.
Yes.
Okay?
Agreed.
I've made multiple videos about how China outfishes the seas, and it's awful because they use lots of very shady tactics.
Yes.
Things like going to the Galapagos Islands and waiting till nighttime and kind of hovering outside, then turning off the transponders of their ships. And not just a few ships. They'll have like hundreds of them out there.
Yeah.
They go in, they completely like harvest the seas, rake
the
seas,
bottom.
Dredge, destroy coral reefs, do all sorts of terrible things. Absolute environmental crimes. It's just disgusting the way they behave.
Destroying the world.
Yeah. And then they like sneak out and turn their transponders back on.
You know, like Captain Planet?
Yeah.
You know those dudes, loot and plunder?
Yeah, yeah.
It's that.
That's them.
It's that in
they
real
just
life.
Want to
IRL.
Destroy. They want to destroy the Earth.
Yes. Just for the sake.
Yeah, exactly. Just because they want the Earth to die.
Yes.
But quite seriously, it is one of the biggest unchecked problems of our time.
100%.
You know, we rely on the ocean as human beings.
Yeah.
Okay. Biodiversity there, it keeps the world going, it keeps the environment healthy, and of course it feeds the entire world.
Yes.
You know? And what China's doing is unsustainable.
No.
And they've been doing it for decades now, and they are destroying the oceans.
Chinese government-led efforts have already destroyed all their seas nearby. They've outfished themselves and now have exported that to elsewhere.
That's why they have to go so far away. I mean, look,
they're off Argentina.
Yeah, they're off the coast of South Africa. Yeah. You know where I'm from? They go to all these African nations, and because of corruption, they kind of get their way in there, and then they outfish the entire coastlines there. It's awful what's happening, and it's wasteful. And they don't care about endangered species.
Nope.
Doesn't matter. The more endangered, the better, you know?
Remember, these are government-led expeditions.
Yeah.
A lot of these ships are actually retconned, or can be retconned, to be military ships.
Yeah, it's a militia, really.
It's horrible.
Yeah. So please go take a look at this and try to raise a little bit of awareness because
we're pretty passionate about this.
For some reason, China always gets a free pass when it comes to environmental crimes.
Yeah, I don't get it.
You know, all these Greta Thunbergs of the world and all this, they're always like, oh, stop oil and go sit in a highway somewhere. Right. But they don't ever bring up the fact that China's
China in the conversation?
Yeah, they're the biggest villain at the moment.
Yeah.
And not only do they produce the most CO2 and have the most coal-burning power plants, and
they're adding them.
Yeah, they keep destroying the environment that way, but they're also outfishing the seas and destroying
and
the
then
oceans.
And then say that they're not.
Yeah, and they say like, leader in green technology.
No, leader of raping all of the seas, of all sea life, destroying the entire world and adding more carbon dioxide to the atmosphere.
Yeah. So please, I implore you, our audience, to help wake the world up to this.
Yeah.
And all you need to do is educate yourself a little bit about it and have some conversations. The more people that talk about this, the better. And here's a good place to start, because here they've actually done a proper investigation. You can go to this link and find out more.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, so thank you for that, guys. Let's move on. Never thought I'd be an eco warrior, but when it comes to like this...
Oh, it's just getting out of control, dude.
Yeah.
It's getting out of control.
It really is. I guess this is Worldview, so let's move into Worldview. This is where we talk about everything in the world, specifically with regards to China.
This is pretty wild. This is in line with something I just covered.
Yes.
Hong Kong security law. Mm. Remember, I brought alarm to the world on this. Basically, in 2019, there were pro-democracy protests in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Catch you up. Millions of people, the majority of the Hong Kong territory, supported not being closer to Beijing. They didn't want Beijing's control on their territory.
Yeah, they were all out on the streets. It was amazing. It was an incredible time to be there.
Mm-hmm. China absolutely cracked down, wiped it out. It will never happen again in the history of mankind because they have instituted basically Beijing law, China's mainland law in Hong Kong. They've instituted a national security law, which passed unanimously. Mm-hmm. And what this means is that if you post anything online now about free Hong Kong or I support democracy in China, right?
Yeah.
I support Chinese democracy.
Anything
not that
anti-China,
terrible
anything,
Guns N' Roses album.
Yeah, exactly. Now, anything that's like
anything
against the CCP.
Anything anti-CCP, right? Anything like this. Anything we do, anything that you guys are maybe typing in the comments. I advise everyone, do not go to Hong Kong, even on a connecting flight, because they are now arresting people and have been arresting people for online post history. Yeah. And this is the first EU citizen, this is a European Union citizen from Portugal, that posted it on a Facebook group, now being jailed for secession.
5 years.
5 years because he said things that were in support of pro Hong Kong democracy, anti-CCP interference in Hong Kong. On a Facebook group.
Yeah, so this guy was kind of he was running a Facebook group about,
very small,
like a small Facebook group about pro-democracy stuff. And he got 5 years. And this is 2022. When he went back to visit family, he got arrested.
Yes.
Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
This is not good.
No.
So
they are arresting people.
Yeah.
They are arresting people for your online post. They had some woo-mao in my comments being like, you know, I know they're obviously being paid to say this, but... Yeah. They're trying to run interference campaigns in my video by saying, listen, this is outlandish. No, this is just every country has national security laws. This is not what he's saying. Mm-hmm. No, it is. It very much is what I'm saying.
Yes.
People are going to jail for posting online about stuff for pro-democracy for Hong Kong and anti-CCP posts. They are.
Yeah.
And worse stuff happens to people that do that too, by the way.
Correct.
Not just jail.
Yeah.
Right.
So just a bit of a PSA there, you know. If you are going to Hong Kong, don't be a pro democracy advocate.
Yeah.
That's
seriously,
simple.
Even if you're connecting.
China is really shooting itself in the foot
they
here
really
because
are.
Hong Kong has always been this financial hub.
Yep. And they need it. China needs it.
But they're making it less and less appealing.
They are.
How many people are going to want to go there if people are just being arbitrarily arrested for posting things on social media?
Not many.
I'm not
going
to go.
I'm not going. We'd be toast.
Yeah. Seriously, and it's such an excellent place to visit
as
well.
One of my favorite places in the world.
Yeah.
Sad.
Yeah, it's awful, and I really feel for all the Hong Kong people who grew up there because it was such an amazing place before.
Oh, we know so many people that have fled now, Hong Kongers, and good. I'm glad they got out.
You got to get out, but it sucks.
It sucks.
Because they have to go from that awesome, vibrant place to like dull old England or whatever.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
And
sit in the freaking drizzle in the gray skies frickin' and be like, drizzle. I kind of miss Hong Kong.
Sure, Hong Kong's... Yeah. Very hot.
It's super, super hot.
So,
it's like going from the tropics into like, you know, drizzly old England. It's not great.
Drizzly old England.
Like I have a double-decker like red bus go by and you're like, oh man.
And you look down, you got your Wellingtons on.
Everything's wet.
Yeah.
You got a scarf.
You got to definitely have a scarf for sure.
Anyway. So let's move on. Okay. This woman over here, Shuefei Chen. Okay, who is she? She's an editor-in-chief at Green Post Under Sweden, China Bridge.
Where we heard China Bridge? It's a different China Bridge, but
interesting. But those are the ones that collapse? I know you're talking about think tanks here.
I was actually talking about podcasts.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
the bridge.
Yeah, the bridge. That's right, with Flat Cat McDonald's and all that. Yeah. Anyway, she has been expelled and deported from Sweden. The first time I've seen this happen.
Oh.
So Sweden expels a Chinese journalist calling her a threat to national security.
Wow. I'm surprised.
Yeah. Now, of course, this is part of a long investigation, but it turns out that she was working for and being paid by and working on behalf of the CCP.
Okay.
Which I'll be honest, there's a lot of that in America.
Yeah.
I hope this sets a precedent.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's a fine line between like freedom of speech and then working for a foreign government for influence operations.
Yeah.
And this is separate from this because I'm not 100% familiar with what happened in this investigation. But I will say that there are so many outlets run by the Chinese government's propaganda networks. But not networks, this is propaganda departments.
Yes, yes.
In China. That are to influence people abroad. We've been covering this for years now, right?
Yeah.
That shouldn't be allowed. Mm. I think if you're an adversarial government that is promoting things that are trying to divide and destroy that country in said country, those operations should not be allowed. That's not freedom of speech. That's an adversarial government that doesn't have freedom of speech that is running these operations to destroy your country. Mm-hmm. So, yes, maybe a bit of a precedent.
Yeah.
Maybe a bit of a precedent.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, like it says in the article there that she had contacts with the Chinese embassy, you know, and was working for them and working for the Chinese government and all that sort of thing. And when you've got a person who's in the press like this, influential, getting into government meetings, perhaps getting into closed circles and you're being paid by a foreign government, it's not good, you know?
No.
So yes, like you said, and like I said, hopefully it sets a precedent. I'd like to see more of this being scrutinized because, you know, if you're being paid by a foreign government, and you're running around in another country on their behalf, doing things on their behalf, you should at least have some eyes on you. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Anyway, let's move on.
The first of its kind.
This is a beautiful story.
Yeah, so this is from 2015. Let's see this 10-second clip.
Okay, let's watch this clip. I'll get us out of here. Beautiful, beautiful story of cooperation and building bridges.
For sub-Saharan Africa. The $475 million light rail project is a joint Chinese and Ethiopian venture. And the CEO, Gachawa Betru, tells me it will help transform the city.
Well, that was a beautiful, beautiful opening. As you can see in this picture, in 2015, this light rail system set up with China and Ethiopia in Addis Ababa in the capital.
Mm-hmm.
It was supposed to be a great success, right?
Yeah.
It was going to mobilize tens of thousands of people per day. Right. Mm-hmm. It's going to get them to work. It's going to cut down costs. It's going to make the economy flourish. Right.
Yeah.
So China comes in with this package and they're like, we're going to help you. We're going to give you a loan.
Yeah, as usual.
We're going to build this state run project, basically. And it's going to be fantastic. Right?
Yeah. It's going to really help.
Yeah. That old CNN thing that they had some great coverage in the beginning. Right.
Yeah. 2015. There we go. So Addis Ababa, there it is.
Almost a decade ago. Mm-hmm. It was, in the bustling capital of Addis Ababa. And it was going to help with the transportation woes of the city because this city was clogged, right? People were having a hard time moving around. The minibuses can only carry so many people, right?
Sure.
But they got to get around to make money. It was envisioned as a project that would redefine urban transport. The system promised to sweep up 60,000 passengers per hour along its tracks, right? That's wild, right?
Yeah, it is.
Today, it sits as a daily reminder of the broken promises of China's funded infrastructure investments that have swept Africa in recent years. Let's have a little look at this.
Okay.
Now, it is in shambles.
Okay.
Crumbling metro reveals failed promise of China's billions in Africa. It was a $475 million project. Right?
Which the Ethiopian government had to loan from China, right?
So it's actually just one little slice. The Ethiopian government had to take a $14.8 billion loan from the Chinese government. This is just one little piece.
It's one of the things.
Yes, one of many mega projects, right?
Right.
Between 2006 and 2018, right? Mm-hmm. The problem is the original sin of this was that it was so poorly planned.
Of course, it always is.
It was so bad because it relied on Chinese parts to be shipped over there, which were not being shipped.
Mm-hmm.
It was obviously made of very poor quality, like almost everything we've seen in China. If it's a Chinese government project, it's usually very bad quality, right?
Especially abroad. They don't care as much.
Yes, yes. The money was borrowed by people that they probably knew they could never pay this back.
Yeah.
This is never going back to them.
Yeah.
Right? And so they took on this thing with a promise that China gives them saying, if you do this infrastructure project, then it's going to bring so much revenue that, of course, you'll be able to pay it back and more, right? This will add so much to your economy. Nowadays, it's just simply not the case. The waiting times for a train now can stretch 20 to 25 minutes, right?
Okay.
This is before it was none. Four times the 6 minutes in the early days, right? So think about how few people can actually get on. The quote says, you might not even get on the train after all this wait. You may realize it's full. There's no space to accommodate you. And when the train arrives after all that wait, you have to wait another 20 minutes to try your luck for the next train. So you're like 40 minutes, an hour. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Just to get on this one train to not go very far, right? Mm-hmm. It's a light rail. This is not like traversing the countryside.
Yeah, you could probably walk that distance in 20 minutes.
So now there's been an explosion in using minibuses and other forms. Like locals are making their own transportation ways.
Yeah, so motorcycle taxis and minibus taxis and stuff.
And it's completely gone back to the old days. And it's actually people are coming up with some very interesting ways around this because it's been such a failure.
Yeah.
So we're looking at massive debts, poorly made project, can't be maintained.
Yeah.
It's overcrowded and full, and it can't be, it's probably not going to be used in the future.
Well, it's going to get to a point where none of the trains run. Right.
Correct.
Right. So right now, obviously, it's running at a very low capacity. So a bunch of the trains obviously broke and can't be fixed.
Mm.
And this is quite common. You know, the problem is with African countries, a lot of the governments are very corrupt. And China is very good at dealing with corruption because the Chinese government itself is very corrupt.
Yes.
So what they'll do is they'll pay off these warlords or the, you know, presidents of whatever country.
Or mayors. Or...
Yeah, buy them a couple of Rolls Royces or whatever they do, right? And then they get these projects.
Yeah.
The government takes big loans from China, which they can never repay.
Yes.
Never. For some absolute BS infrastructure that doesn't make sense.
Yep.
You know, from an economic standpoint. It sounds good, but like think about all the rubbish that they probably were supposed to build and built, but it's just useless for the people.
Yeah.
They import all the labor from China, so the locals don't even get a job.
You're right.
It's just a waste of money. And at the end of the day, you've got a bunch of like useless, it looks like post-apocalyptic infrastructure,
always
half-finished buildings.
Always does.
You have to pay for.
In fact, now,
frequent
breakdowns, inadequate maintenance funding, and operational constraints mean barely one-third of the 41 trains are operational.
Well, there we
go.
So
we're at 33% running now.
It's crazy.
And this is only 9 years ago, dude.
Yeah.
This is not like, you know, we have trains. You have trains in Africa that are from the 20s or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Back in the day, right?
Steam
that are
engines,
still operational, right?
Yeah, the blue train.
Look at this. This is a nine-year-old train. A third of it is operational now.
A nine-year-old train,
A nine-year-old train. And we see this with buildings there. We see this with all kinds of projects that are put up in China, is that they're not built for longevity.
Yep.
They're built with constant maintenance in mind. You have to constantly maintain them. And when your parts are coming from all the way across the world,
yep,
at exorbitant costs that you can't pay back already, you're not going to get those parts.
Nope.
China only needed that PR visit. They only needed the initial video to go put on CGTN in China Daily to say, look at how we're helping African countries, by the way, by getting them into debt traps.
Yeah.
Right? We're helping
them.
And now, not only are only one-third of its 41 trains operational, now it's only ferrying 55,000 passengers a day. So before its capacity was 60,000 per hour. Now it's 55,000 per day.
Per day.
I mean, it's useless.
It is useless.
It's useless. Mm.
That's how it works. You see these big sort of propaganda pushes, like you saw in the beginning, we showed you the clip, and everyone's like, wow, this is helping Africa so much. Look at the great stuff China's doing, this partnership. And that's where it ends, because once the cameras are turned off, they forget about it.
Yeah.
They'll finish it quick and cheap and dirty and leave it.
Well, they don't need it.
Yeah, and then they're like, done, we got what we wanted from it, and now we've got a country that owes us a huge debt too. Yay!
And now we might get a military base or a port.
Yeah, exactly.
It's long-term
thinking. Or their airport or something, you know.
Yeah.
We'll own their resources, that type of thing.
No good.
Yeah, it's no good. So this is the result of the Belt and Road, the Bait and Rob initiative, as they say. And I guess that brings us more or less to the end of the show today. Now, guys, sorry we don't have a Q&A. We are unfortunately on a schedule.
And for real this time.
We're on a schedule. We have a prior engagement, which we just couldn't get out of.
Nope.
So apology for that. But don't worry, we'll be back to normal next week.
Save your super chats for next time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We cannot wait to see you in the next show. As always, guys, I hope you have a fantastic weekend. And we'll see you on Monday for
Shaban
Ho. And if we don't see you there, we'll see you in our other videos, and we'll see you in the show next week. So have a good one. Stay awesome. And I'm not going to cut myself off. So let's do this. 5, 4.